would I be? Amen. That's good singing. Amen. I enjoyed that. What a blessing. All right. Well, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 22 and going to be bringing some things to your attention and to your mind tonight. And I've been down this road before. And I tell you, it's not a good place to be when you finally come to grips with the fact that you've been evil affected and you realize you've been evil affected. And you realize that you've been evil affected against the brethren, against the brethren that could help you. And I've been there before, and that's what we preached about this morning. Have you been evil affected? I would have to say, yes, I have been. And I would venture to say many of us have as well by other people, other situations. And when you receive the rule of rejectors and you become evil affected, the tendency is to shun every person or person types or situations. I mean, if you go by the fence and a dog bites you, what are you going to do next time? You're going to stay away from that dog. And the tendency for us is to make sure that whoever it was that evil affected us, that we're not going to let them do that again to us ever again. The fallacy with that is if anyone comes by that even resembles that situation, we shut them off. And that's what's wrong. And that's why we're talking about, have you been evil affected, applying past problems to present people? What we can have the danger of doing is taking a past problem that happened years ago, and if I see any resemblance of it in you, I'm going to avoid you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw you out. And I'm going to cast you away. Because you remind me of when I was evil affected yonder year or yesterday or whenever, and because of that, I've got a sign posted saying, I'm not going there anymore. And what we end up doing inadvertently is applying a past problem to a present person. I've done it. I'm not proud of it, but I did it. And when God showed me that's what I was doing, it broke my heart that I was evil affected, number one. But then after coming out of my evil affectedness, if you even remotely look like the people or spoke like the people that did it, I didn't want to have anything to do with you. I was going to cut you off. That is against God's love. Because I'm blaming people for something that they didn't even do. I'm blaming people for something they had no clue about. And I'm holding them guilty and responsible for something that happened to me a long time ago, and I'm placing the blame on them. And folks, we do it. We do it. We do it. And so I want to speak to you tonight, and we'll finish it up next week. Have you been evil affected? Applying past problems to present people. Because this is the flip side to being evil affected. It's bad enough to be evil affected, but then when we put the warning sign up or the danger sign up says, do not enter, and a certain topic or a certain type of person comes along, and I shut them down automatically, I am negating God's love working through me. And I am saying, in essence, you're just as guilty as the people back there. And I'm holding you accountable for a past problem, although you're a present person. And folks, that's wrong. Take our Bibles, Joshua chapter 22, and I want us to stand. We're going to read only one verse here. And we won't probably cover much of the passage today because I want to set this up and get you really to understand where I'm coming from. And we'll hopefully finish it out on Sunday morning. But Joshua chapter 22, we're only going to read one verse, and I want you to read it with me here. What's going on here is that Joshua has already conquered the land, and they have already divided the land up. And now what they're about to do is dismiss the 2.5 tribes back over on the other side of Jordan. And Joshua and the rest are going to go on the other side. But before the 2.5 tribes go back to the other side, they build an altar. This altar is not to worship on. This altar is just a memory of what God has done in their lives. And it's identifying them with the children of Israel. And that's all it is. It's nothing more. Well, Israel finds out about that. And in verse 11, I want you to read that with me. It says, and the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Cana in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And I want you to listen to verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them.
Wow.
So what just happened here? They built a simple altar. Didn't have any significance other than to attach us to them. Israel automatically assumed the worst. And when Israel assumed the worst, they gathered all the people together. And they're going to war against their brethren. What am I saying? They were evil affected. And they're about to place a past problem on present people. And folks, we do it. We do it. Father, help us tonight to understand that we are going to be evil affected. People are going to affect us in a negative way at some point and some place and some time in our life. Lord, it is so unfair for us to carry and harbor that past problem around and place it and commit it to present people. God, help us to see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and discern when these things happen. Lord, I pray we might become more wiser, first of all, to being evil affected. But then once we are evil affected, to let people go of that fault and not hold a past problem on a present person. Lord, how many of your people today have done that? And how many are still doing that? And they can't be blessed, and neither can others bless them because they are evil affected against the brethren. Help us tonight, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. You know this message. You know the impact that it had on my life and what it means to me. And I pray I can be a blessing and a help to some person that maybe is going through the same thing that I went through. And they could pull themselves up to receive the grace of God, to let the past stay in the past, and let the present be the present, and let the people be the people. Lord, we may glorify you and see souls won for Jesus' sake. I bless now in this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Well, you know, if you're anything like me, I'm of the type that I'm a very forgiving person. I don't hold grudges. But if you affect me evil, I got an eye out for you. I'm going to watch you a little more circumspect. Wasn't always that way. I was the type, Brother Serge, that if you crossed me once, you won't get the second chance. Because I'm not going to even let you close. And if somebody comes that even looks like you, I'm not going to give you a chance either because you look like that one. Come on, y'all laugh. You know it's true.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
You know it's true. We do it.
Yes, we do.
And folks, that's not fair.
No, it's not.
God had to show me, son, you can't do that.
That's right.
You cannot be the effective minister that I want you to be, nor can you receive ministry from someone else if you're going to be that way.
That's right.
God had to show me the hard way. When those individuals that evilly affected me, and I told you last week, they did so. And they were innocent. They weren't trying to evil affect me.
Right.
They said some things, and I just happened to be in a point and place in my life that what they said evil affected me towards someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't mean any harm by it. But yet and still, I was evil affected.
Yep.
And I set up the old sign in my mind saying, you know what? If anybody even looks like y'all, if anybody talks like y'all, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. I can't win anybody to Jesus like that. Have you been evil affected applying past problems to present people is the title of this message. And this is part three. This is the other side of what we dealt with this morning. And so this morning we talked about receiving the rule of the rejectors. There's a multitude that received the rule of the rejectors. We understood that. They sided with the Jews. They were unbelievers. They were evil affected. They poisoned their minds against the brethren, against the very ones that could help them. And now these same individuals, Paul comes right back through there and he ministers and he confirms these souls and he gets them right and he encourages them and he exhorts them and turns them over to the Lord. Now these same people have got to see those Jews in the community. These same people probably saw some of those same people in the fellowship sooner or later that Paul went back in there and said, look, now, come on, didn't I get you saved there? Didn't you receive the gospel? Come on back over here. And so these guys had to come back into fellowship. How awkward do you think that was? For those guys to come back into the fellowship or to try to go and witness to these Jews or to see these people that evil affected them and to hold the hand out like that. You can win a lot of people to Jesus like that, can't you? No. People can see your hand. I don't even know if that's still popular. Speak to the hands. Probably so outdated. If, you know, I don't know. Shows you how behind times I am. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to discern and learn from the past. However, it's tragic and wrong to hold past problems against present people. You have been evil affected when you do, and there's a problem in your life. I didn't stutter. There's a problem in your life. When you can take what somebody else did and apply it to everybody, there's a problem. Why do you think we have racism problems now? Folks don't like a whole generation of blacks just because maybe a few blacks did something. Or I don't like a whole generation of Mexicans because what a few Mexicans did in the drug wars. And I don't like a whole race of Jews because of what the Jews did. I don't like a whole race of Germans because of what the Nazis did. I don't like a whole race of whatever color they are because of what somebody did. And they hold it against everybody. Well, you got a Confederate flag, so I'm against you because you were in that part of the war. Well, you're from South Carolina, so you must hate blacks because you're one of those types. When we take past problems and put them on present people, we err. And we err greatly. We must be able to discern and learn from the past, but not apply those problems or assign those past problems to present people. Some people in God's house today are stagnated, stifled, and stymied by others of their past, and you're making present people pay for it. Amen. Just say amen because you know it's true.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Calling yourself protecting your heart. I thought it was God's job to protect our hearts.
It is, Pastor.
Yes, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means to guard it from sin, not from people.
Amen.
People are who God died for, who Jesus died for.
Yes, sir.
And God showed me, how dare you take what they did and apply it to everybody else?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
God broke my heart. There is something for which we as a church should heed if we want to be successful in spreading the gospel and for the spiritual strength and health of a church and ministry life. Have you been evil affected applying past problems to present people? Let me just give you some, for instance, some Christians are grudge holders with the same type of person that evil affected them, so they hold the grudge. Some Christians are grudge holders toward the same gender of persons that evil affected them. I happen to be a man, so maybe someone who was evil affected by a man, I hate all men.
Amen.
Maybe someone was evil affected by a lady, so I hate all ladies. Maybe someone was evil affected by a black person, so I hate all black persons. Or I hate all white persons, or I hate all whatever persons. Some are grudge holders and with the same type of person or the same gender of person or the same position of person. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He's a preacher. He's a vice president. He's this. And so that vice president or that person hurt me. And so I hate all vice presidents. Folks, that's wrong.
Yes, sir, it is. Pastor, it is.
That's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Some men have been abused by men or fathers. And so they hate all or most men. Some have been abused by an authority figure, so they hate all or most authority figures. Some have been abused by women or their mother, so they hate all or most women. Some have been abused by a pastor or church leader, so they hate all or most church authorities or leaders. Some have been betrayed by a friend or a spouse or a child, and so they're suspect on all or most close relationships.
Wow.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know it's true.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
You know it's true. You got a divorce, and so the next person you marry, you're suspect already because are you going to leave me too? That's not fair to that person. It's not fair to them. Well, at my last church, the preacher ran off with the money, and he ran off with the secretary, and he ran off with this person, and he ran off with this, and you're just the same way. That's not fair to me.
That's
not fair to me.
Well,
the last teacher that my child had was abusive. That's not fair to that teacher presently. Y'all get what I'm saying? What we want to do is take a past issue and put it on present people, and that's wrong. We cannot do that. God is not involved in that at all. And it's worse when we bring it into church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amazingly, we'll trust everybody else, but we won't trust that type of person that evil affected us. We won't touch that gender of person that affected us. We won't touch that race of people that affected us. We won't touch that position of person that affected us because they're just like that other person. Why don't you give them the benefit of the doubt? Why don't you just, instead of using a past problem, use a present picture of the Bible. This shows that there's an evil effect in our lives when this happens in life somewhere. Don't get me wrong. I am in no way minimizing the hurt that you have.
Amen.
I am not minimizing your hurt. And I am not telling you to guard your heart with all diligence, as the Bible says, for out of it are the issues. I am not telling you not to guard. But I'm telling you, you're wrong when you take what somebody else did and put it on somebody else.
Amen.
You're wrong.
That's right.
You're wrong. You let that person have their own sins. Don't put somebody else's sins. Sure, I got enough sins of my own. I don't need you to give me anybody else's sins. I got enough sins all by myself. And I'm going to commit enough against you for you to give me some more. I don't need that. Let me tell you the truth. You can have a saved soul, but not a healed heart. Let me say it again. You can have a saved soul, but not a healed heart. You can have a saved soul, but not a mended mind.
Wow.
What did it say over there? They evil affected their what? Their minds.
Mind.
So you can have a saved soul, but you can have an unmended mind. Your mind is still affected in such a way that that person or that situation or what they did, I'm going to carry that and place it on every person that's similar to him or her or to them. I've heard it before. From a medical standpoint, when bones are broken and not properly mended, it can cause long-term problems. They said about Faith, it was good that she had a clean break so they could just go back and set it back in place and it could grow. They said if bones aren't mended properly, it's going to cause long-term problems. And if it's not mended properly, they have to go back and re-break the bone and reset it. How many have ever had that happen to you before? You had a bone reset? Amen, brother? Amen. They say, medically speaking, if it's not mended properly, they'll go back and they'll re-break it so that they can set properly. From a spiritual standpoint, when hurts are not properly dealt with spiritually and confronted, we will often stay evil affected against someone until it's properly handled. Amen and amen.
And amen for that.
What am I saying?
Amen.
If somebody hurts me, and if I don't deal with it there, it will manifest itself somewhere, someplace, someday on somebody else.
Amen.
Unfairly.
Yes, sir, it will, Pastor. It will.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. Why? I've been there.
Yep.
I've been there.
Amen.
Folks, it's not a good place to be.
No, it isn't. Right.
Because you can't give people the benefit of the doubt.
That's right.
You can't let them be them. You can't let them minister to you. Neither can you minister to them because you're suspect on them already.
Amen.
To get a healing in our hearts and a mending in our minds, we must go back to the point in which we were hurt initially and spiritually confront the issue, which often means dealing with people.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Face to face that affected us. I know we live in this social media age and technology, and everybody wants to Facebook and nobody wants to talk in person. Sister, I bet you $10 those folks would not stand toe-to-toe to you with a Bible and confront you to your face.
No, they wouldn't.
Why? It's cowardly to get behind some little computer and, I don't believe in God.
How dare you say that? That's ignorant of you.
Anybody, a monkey can do that.
Lord help us.
But get a Bible and stand toe-to-toe with me and tell me that. I confronted somebody yesterday at the door. You don't believe in heaven? That's all right. It still exists. Why don't you stop breathing since you don't believe in stuff you can't see and see how fair you, see how you fare. Amen.
You're right, Pastor. You're right.
Christians can be evil affected from a past problem and hold it against present people. It happens all the time, every day. In other words, we can become suspect of all or most future people types or groups or genders or positions once we've been evil affected to protect ourselves.
Amen.
Because I don't want to get hurt again. Now, I'm not advocating you open yourself up for hurt. I'm not one of those type of people.
Amen.
But I am telling you, when you're in the people business, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
Your children are going to hurt you.
Yep.
Friends are going to hurt you.
Yep.
Your spouse may hurt you. Your father or mother may hurt you. Your teacher may hurt you. Somebody's going to hurt you. That's the nature of people. We
That's
sin
right.
against other people.
That's right.
To include sinning against God.
But
to hold them accountable for what they did is unfair to them.
Yes, sir.
And so when someone evil affects us, here's a test for your evil affectedness. If you truly forgave this person from your heart, from your past, that evil affected you, because I'm sure all of these individuals, they got saved in Acts chapter 14 that we talked about this morning, saw the divide come into that city, and some went with the apostles, and some went with the Jews, and I'm sure that once Paul came back through the town, some of those folks probably came back and said, you know what, I was wrong. Now these same people that were evil affected had to sit there and say, mm-hmm. Give you 2 weeks and Frank will be gone. Mm-hmm. I ain't letting Frank come over to my house for no fellowships. Mm-hmm. Wish I would let Frank kids play with my kids. Mm-hmm. You see how he got evil effect and he beat feet? I don't want my kids around no evil effectors. How you going to have a church like that? Here's a test for your evil effectiveness. If you truly forgave someone from your heart from a past problem, you don't have negative or ill feelings in your heart about that person. Let me say it again. If you truly forgave someone from a past hurt, you don't have negative or ill feelings in your heart about that person. And here's the rest of it. And you can sincerely pray for them that affected you. If you cannot sincerely pray for them, then you are still evil affected. Amen. Hold your finger there. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. I'm just saying. And folks, I'm trying to be a help to you tonight. I know what happened to me. Matthew chapter number 5. Jesus gives the test of spirituality in the Beatitudes. And the test for spirituality in the Beatitudes in verse number, verses 3 down through 12 talk about how we need to do things. And notice what he says in verse number 11, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Blessed are ye when, matter of fact, go back up there to verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus said, you're blessed. But then go down to verse 44, and notice what he says here in verse number 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what am I supposed to do to my enemies? Love your enemies. What is love? Love is doing the highest good for my enemy. Now, if you have a past problem with someone, you can't do the highest good for them, nor can you pray for them. And if you can't pray for them, and then somebody comes along like that person, and you treat them the same way, guess what? You can't pray for that person sincerely. Why? Because you're assigning that past problem on that present person. Y'all with me?
Amen.
He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Preacher, you're asking a hard thing. That's what love does. And when you're not evil affected, you can do that. And so if you can't do that, then you are assigning a past problem onto a present person. Now, if the present person did their own sin, you need to confront them about their sin. But now, if you've got a past problem of evil affected with someone else, and you're carrying that over to the future, you're still evil affected. Because the Bible says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute. Am I saying that, preacher, we've all arrived? I wish, would to God we had. That's a hard order for anybody. But that's to tell how you can know if you're still evil affected by a past problem. If not dealt with, sooner or later, it's going to resurface some way, somewhere, someday by something or someone who's oblivious to your past problem, and you're going to apply it to them, and it's not going to be fair to them. I was reading my devotions a while back. The article was entitled, Cut It Down and Forget It. Speaking about Joseph when Joseph's brothers did him wrong. In Genesis 45 and verses 4 and 5, Joseph said unto his brethren, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. It goes on like this. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, Lee said, cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. Pretty simple, huh? Cut it down and forget it. After Joseph became a ruler in Egypt and his brothers came to him for help, he could have meted out some well-deserved punishment to them. No doubt when Joseph's brothers realized who he was, fear gripped their hearts. After all, Joseph could have exacted revenge on them for the terrible crime they had committed against him. He might have been tempted to say, "You did me wrong, so you're going to serve me for a little while. I've been waiting for this day for decades." But Joseph was not a scorekeeper, but a grace giver. He forgave his brothers. He goes on to say, "I've heard people say, 'Pastor, I think God gave me this trial or this test so I can help others. I think God brought me through that trial or this trial so I could minister to others who are going through it.'" Rather than focusing on the pain, these people are trusting in God's purposes for their lives. In other words, what pain happened to you back then is then for you to use now for ministry, not a menace in other people's lives. He says, when you focus on yourself and how you've been wrong, you will never see God's purpose in the circumstance. Let me read that again. When you focus on yourself and how you've been wrong, you will never see God's purpose in the circumstances. Was Jesus Christ not wrong? Was he not nailed to the tree for your sins and my sins? If there's an injustice, then there's the greatest injustice. But we get so internalized with us and what people did to us, how they were so unfair to us and how they wronged me. Well, they wronged Jesus, so you're in good company.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. Trying to help you.
Amen.
He goes on to say, have you experienced hurt or trial? Maybe somebody wrongly accused you or falsely punished you. Do you still feel hurt, anger, or bitterness when you think of that situation or when you see that person? Don't allow bitterness to have place in your heart. Give the situation to God. Forgive those involved and forget the matter. Move forward for God rather than holding on to the hurt. Cut it down and forget it.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Preacher, it's not that simple. With God, all things are possible.
Yes, sir.
All depends on how you want to nurse that old wound. All depends on how you want to hold on to that hurt and that wrong that someone did to you. It all depends on if you believe there's a God of grace that is able to give you all comfort and work it out in your life for his good and his glory and for your betterment and for the betterment of others. Hey, folks, I can stand here today to tell you I was evil affected at one time in my life. And some people did it, not knowing they did it. But nonetheless, I had an evil view of some people. And God had to crush my heart and say, son, you cannot minister by putting a past problem on present people. It is not fair to them. It's not fair to you.
Amen.
God had to work that thing out of my life. Folks, if it's not dealt with, something's going to happen. Something's going to give. Well, let's get to our text here just for the next few moments. All that was just to get us set up so that you can understand why this is here and why the evil effect is there. Go back to Joshua chapter 22. And again, folks, don't get me wrong. You guys are the home folk. I am in no way trying to minimize your pain or your hurt that you have. I don't even know what your pain may be. But there's a God that does. And there's a God that allowed it to happen for a reason. We look at Joseph's life and we say, well, we know what happened to Joseph. We know why God did that. Guess what? They didn't know at the time they were going through it.
Amen.
Joseph didn't know why he was in that pit.
Right.
He didn't know why he was down at Potiphar's. He didn't know why he was put in that jail. He didn't know why that the butler and the baker were there. He didn't understand all that. He just wanted to glorify God. And God brought it all to pass to get Israel out down in Egypt to save their souls. God could have allowed you to go what you are going through to help someone else. But if you see it as a past problem, so an evil affected you, now you're going to make everybody else pay. That is unfair to them.
Amen.
It's unfair to you.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 22. Chapter 22, we find the half tribe there. Read with me in verse 1. You don't have to read out loud, but just follow along. I just want to get you set up here. We're only going to talk about maybe one thing tonight. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. Now notice here, this area, they're saying, you've not left your brethren. You've been here these many days. They're in good standing.
Amen.
But have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now to return ye and get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possessions. In other words, he's sending the half tribes, the two and a half tribes back over. which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side, Jordan. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, and then he blessed them, and he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, with gold, with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide your spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half tribe Manasseh returned, departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, was in the land of Cana, to go into the country of Gilead, the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. When they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Cana, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. Again, we know why the altar is there. And here's the first point. The perception of the problem. I want us to notice the perception of the problem. The children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar over against the land of Cana and the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. The perception of the problem. Draw your attention to that word heard say. The children of Israel heard say. Somebody told them. But I said, no, I heard something. Somebody told somebody who told somebody something. I heard something. How do you respond to hearsay? Heard say, hearsay, same thing. Heard say. We as God's people have to get to the point where we confront real problems and real issues and not hearsay and not people. God never called us to confront a people. He called us to confront problems, and the problem is sin. And I'm going to confront the sin, the problem, and not the people. It's not about hearsay. They heard say. Ask yourself, who heard it? Who said it? And why was it said? Good question, isn't it? The Bible doesn't say. But we heard say. Let me give you some help. Don't say it if you're not willing to stand by it. Can I get amen? Don't say it if you're not willing to stand by it. Don't say it if you're not willing to own it. Don't say it if you're not willing to face it. Don't say it. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Don't say it if you're not going to stand by it, if you're not going to face it, if you don't want to own up to it. Amen. Brother Scott, I don't know about you, but I get tired of people coming to me saying, well, they said. Well, they said. Well, who is they? They must have a name. Well, I don't want to say who they are. Well, then don't tell me who they are. If I can't get a face and a name and confront somebody, I don't need to know who they are. They isn't going to help me at all. Or the people is not going to help me at all. They heard say. If a person's not willing to stand by it or own it or face it, you might as well not even say it. Amen, Jeff. Lord help us. Pastor White, I know you get it too. They said. Or here's one that I heard in Belgium. We believe. Who's we? I don't see anybody but you. So who is we? Well, they sent me. Who are they? Who is we and who are they? Well, they would rather not be named. Well, they'd rather not be heard then. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hey? They heard say. The perception of the problem. They're hearing some stuff here, and they're going to rally on something based on hearsay. And we're going to find out that it's all based upon a past problem. And they're going to say, hey, look, didn't this happen? 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 Yeah, that was them, a past problem. Don't put it on present people. That's exactly what they're about to do. The perception of the problem. There's something else, the preparation for the problem. Notice verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, what'd they hear? The hearsay. The whole congregation of Israel. I mean, not just a few. The whole congregation of children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. So now the brethren are going to beat each other down. We beat the Canaanites down. Now we're going to beat each other down. Well, what kind of success story is that? We beat the Canaanites, then we beat ourselves. Now there's nobody left. So who's going to have the promised land? I guess a bunch of jackals and donkeys.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
The whole congregation gathered themselves against them. So now they're going to go against the 2.5 tribes over some hearsay.
Yeah.
They're going to battle. Let me ask you a question. What's your reaction to hearsay? Yeah. Or when you heard say? Yeah. Is it let's go to battle and let's go to blows? Is it, let's give them the benefit of the doubt? Is it, that's just like them, I told you so? Is it, I thought so, they was never for us in the first place? Is it, consider the source, they ain't worth much anyway? Or is it, I wonder what they meant by that, let's go find out. How about, I wonder what they meant by that, let's go find out. Novel idea, huh?
Amen.
Let's go talk it out. But the Bible says they're ready to go to war. The whole congregation is ready to go to war. They're already lined up. Because of the past problems of 40 years in the wilderness, the present people now are being blamed and ganged up on by the whole congregation. We can get a lot of people involved in our past problems and apply them to the present people if we're not careful, based on our own preferences and what happened to us. Well, I wouldn't trust that type of person there. Why don't you just let the Bible figure that out? I like the way the Bible says. The Bible just says confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I'll just check you out, see if you're a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know, if you walk in like this, I know something's wrong with you. Foot's out of joint. You know, you can't chew right. I know you got a broken tooth. I'm not going to ask you to chew anything. If you got a foot out of joint, I'm not going to ask you to march anywhere. I just let the Bible test you. I don't have to apply a past problem to you. The Bible says, it's moreover, brethren, it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful. I don't have to have a past problem. If you're not faithful, the Bible's already tried you. I don't have to bring a past problem up to you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
See, it's easy. Just apply the Bible. But we bring our preferences and our backgrounds and what happened there and what happened here, and then we say, well, because you did this back there, the same type of person is guilty of it here. Really? Some of you probably don't like bald people. You know, back in the days, bald people were portrayed as the bad villains. When I first went bald back when I was 18 years old and I went back to college, everybody thought I shaved my head to be mean and menacing looking. I said, no, that's not why I did it. It wasn't vogue back then, Brother Devin. Afros were still out. Pastor White had an afro out here back in those days. Afros were still out back in those days, and I couldn't sport an afro, and I came bald, and I was the only bald guy there. I went through boot camp and caught just a ribbing because I was bald. Then everybody got shaved off. We was all birds of a feather.
There we go.
Except theirs grew back.
Amen.
Some people have issues with people because they look different. We have an issue with blacks and whites and Hispanics and all types of people because of past problems. You see someone with tattoos and looking kind of lethargic and thuggish, and automatically we assume they must be a biker.
Yep.
They must be a Hell's Angels.
Right,
I remember back when we were over in Belgium, Pastor Bennett used to always talk about bikers and black leather jackets and all that stuff. And one day, Brother Black, one of our missionaries, drove up on a motorcycle with a leather jacket, with the boots, the whole 9 yards. And we thought, oh, motorcycle person's coming to rob the church. And that was the preacher for the night. Threw that right out the water.
Yeah.
What do? We put some past problems on a present person. We thought, you can't preach because you got a leather jacket and all this garbage and you look like a biker, you're a thug and all this other stuff. Brother, who's it? Brother, come on now. Preached our anniversary last year. What's his name? Brother Dunham, he and his wife came by on their motorcycle. Now, she used to drive a motorcycle too, believe it or not. She drove a Harley. Drove up, they came over to our house, and man, she came over and pulled off her helmet. Man, she had her do-rag scarf on. I said, you look like one of the sisters from the hood. If anybody would have saw her, they would have said she could not be a preacher's wife. Why? Because she had one of the do-rags on her head, and she came out there, and I thought, whoa, sister, you threw me that time. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
Amen. What happened? I applied the past to the present. You can get that thing wrong. Folks, they're about to do that here. Remember, the multitude in Acts chapter 14 was evil affected in the same way. They let some folks poison their minds, and we're going to stop with that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next Sunday. But folks, I hope you get the crux of what I'm trying to say. You cannot let something that happened back there affect how you treat people here. You can't bring a past problem that happened there and bring it in and apply to someone else. You've got to deal with that. You've got to take that to God. And you've got to say, Lord, I've got this issue. And Lord, this type of person, this gender of person, this position of person, this group, this situational type of person hurt me. And I want to guard myself. And I'm not saying you ought not guard yourself, but you got to let God involved in this. You got to let God do this. You got to let God do the work. You cannot do it because you will harm many lives and you yourself will be harmed as well.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how can I be harmed? You won't get the ministry that you could normally get to you.
That's right.
You won't get it. It could be that God's got someone in this church that wants to minister to you, but you won't let them because you got a past problem with that type of person.
Right,
I'm so glad that we have multicolors in here.
Amen.
And races of people. Because there's somebody for everybody. I mean, you can look around and see somebody that looks like you somewhere. Mm-hmm. Except nobody's got a bald head.
Amen.
Devin's about as close as it comes.
No, amen, Devin. Amen, Devin.
But you can look around, you can see people that look like you. Folks, we're all in this together. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's been hurt by somebody. But please, don't take that and bring it. We're going to find that they're going to be on the brink of war because of a perception. And because they applied some past sins by people that are dead and gone to the present people today. And they're about to go to war over that. They weren't alive when Achan did his sin, and they did all the Baal Peor and all the stuff, all the accusations they're going to bring up against them. They're like, hey, ho, stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our intent.
That's
not our intent. But you know what? At least they talked. At least they talked. Yeah, they're ready to go to war. But at least they talked.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to some old-fashioned communication.
Some good
old-fashioned talking. Now, they did do that part right. They sent some folks up ahead. But, folks, God knows my heart. I know this doesn't feel good because I've been there. One of the main people that I had affected in that way was my pastor. And I had to go weeping and crying to him and let him know that I had been evil affected by some people that didn't even know they had evil affected me. But because of what they said, get this, I was suspect on him, but then I was suspect on them. You know where that left me? Alone. Because I'm suspect on you because of what you told me about him, but now I'm suspect on you because of what you told me about him.
Amen.
And so I'm caught. I can't go to you because I don't trust you. I can't go to him because I don't trust him. And I'm caught. Now I've got nobody. Folks, that's a bad spot to be in.
Yes, sir, it is. Pastor, it is.
When you can't talk to the brethren, but you can't talk to the brethren.
The brethren. That's right, Pastor.
And everybody's suspect. Now I'm looking around everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right, Pastor.
You say any of the phraseology that they said, I got the X on you.
Yes, sir.
Got the X on you. Oop, you said the same thing they said, X on you. You said it too. X on you. Before long, I'm all over here by myself. Everybody's got an X but them. Now I'm an island all to myself. Now I'm with my own thoughts. Now I'm really in trouble.
Yes, sir, Pastor, you are.
With my own thoughts, I'm really in trouble.
Yes, sir, Pastor Dawson. Yes, sir.
Folks, please don't misunderstand me. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help.
Amen.
Because I've been hurt before like this. And I hurt others in the process. And I don't want you to be so evilly affected that now you don't trust anybody.
Amen.
You don't trust a soul now because everybody's suspect.
Yes.
No. As we unfold more of this next week, I do trust you let God speak to your heart. And you let him uncover your eyes and see what it is that you need to take home from this. Now, for some of us, we may have to just go back and just fall on our knees and say, God, I've been evil affected there, and I was ready to write everybody off. But, Lord, I know that's not right. Help me to be discerning. Help me to be circumspect and help me to use the Bible and not my past problem to determine people. Help me not to base it on what these folks did and how they did it. Help me not to do that, but help me to just use the Bible. Now the Bible calls you unfit and unfaithful. You got a problem with the Bible.
Oh, yes.
But if you apply a past problem to present people, you got the problem. Because
yes,
that's not fair.
No,
our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Folks, let me add this to the message as well. Ms. Dawson, if you can come.